First, many people are trying to make do with whatever life has thrown their way lately, and for some that's meant moving in with family. Some college students and young adults are choosing to stay home or moving back in with parents if being on campus, for example, isn't necessary. And some older adults might be moving in with their adult children to help watch the grandkids while childcare is hard to come by. And while multi-generational living has increased in the last few months for many cultures and countries, it's the norm. Even through the history of the U.S., we've seen some ebb and flow when it comes to extended families living together. Nicholas Lovett is an assistant professor at the University of Wisconsin-Whitewater with the Department of Economics. Nick, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Oh, it's a great pleasure to be here.
Well, I know we'll probably find out a lot more from the census, but from what you see out there, how much do you see this happening, multiple generations ending up living together over the last few months?
Oh, I see quite a lot of it. I live in a fairly residential neighborhood, and I frequently see grandparents pushing strollers with small kids in them and going back to a home or a household where we have three generations living together. So really seeing quite a lot of it these days. It's been sort of a general increase in the past 10 to 15 years, but in the past several months with the pandemic, it's really picked up quite a bit.
Yeah, let's talk about pre-pandemic, and I've seen some research out there that shows this was happening. I don't know, maybe in part because of the Great Recession. What's behind this wider trend even before COVID-19?
Yeah, it's definitely been picking up a lot, and it picked up a lot during the Great Recession and since then. And I sort of think that economic factors are sort of the biggest thing kind of driving this change in housing patterns. In the last 15 to 20 years, the economy's changed quite a bit, in some ways not for the better in the sense that fewer people are able to extract kind of a middle-class existence out of the economy. And those that are generally earning more than they were previously. And some of the groups that are not doing quite as well in this sort of newer economy are young adults and the elderly. And so oftentimes those folks are living with what we might call prime-age working adults, maybe their parents or their adult children, to sort of smooth out some of the frictions that they're experiencing economically. That's kind of been driving a lot of this change towards multi-generational cohabitation or housing for the past 10 years or so. But there's also been some other things that maybe aren't economic in nature. America's become more diverse, and we've had more immigration from Latin America and East Asian societies where multi-generational housing is sort of very much the norm or the standard. And as America's demographics shift in that direction, it's perhaps not surprising that we're seeing more households living like that. And then finally, parents tend to invest more in their children these days than perhaps they did in the past. We see a lot less structured play and a lot more sort of, quote, investments in children's experiences. And having grandparents on hand can really help with that kind of thing, particularly the high intensity parenting that we're seeing in middle class and wealthy families in America these days.
We've seen multi-generational housing in the U.S. in the past, right? I mean, I think of shows like The Waltons, representing there was grandpa and there were grandkids and all points in between. This isn't the first time we've been here, right?
No, absolutely not. In fact, my mother, I know that she lived with her grandmother for many years, and that was kind of the standard in my own family lineage, going back to the 40s and the 30s and the 50s when my mother was a small girl. But since the 1950s, we've generally seen it decline and then kind of pick up again in the past 15 years or so. So going quite a ways back, very standard, and maybe also a bit of a reflection back then of some of the tougher economics back then. And then we sort of saw this great rise in equality and prosperity following World War II that maybe allowed people to live independently much more so. And now the economy is changing again. I wouldn't say it's worse. In the aggregate, it's more prosperous, but there are perhaps more people sort of being left behind a little bit. And that might be driving part of this.
Talking to Nicholas Lovett from UW-Whitewater, we're looking at the resurgence, especially under COVID-19, but it started before that, of multi-generational families, maybe three generations in a family living under the same roof. Is that you? You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Nick, I know there have been a lot of stories about the rise of people living alone over the years, and it's kind of become the accepted norm that you go off and live either on your own or you start your own nuclear family, and there's maybe even a stigma of the 20-something still living with their parents. Is that stigma something pretty recent?
I'm not sure how recent it is. I definitely remember when I was in my 20s, I'm in my mid-30s now, and I definitely remember hearing about it then and feeling a little uncomfortable, wondering if I was going to be part of that or not. And the language that I primarily recall that I still hear today is what's called the failure to launch phenomena. And the idea is that kids graduate from high school or college, and their objective is to get a good middle-class job right away, but that frequently doesn't actually happen. And so they end up living with their parents for several years, and there can be some shame or some stigma associated with that. Whereas in many other societies, in fact, it's the norm to stay with your parents until you get married. But the American experience has generally been that you try to live independently almost as soon as you're done with formal education. But that's not always possible, and there's certainly a stigma sort of associated with that, although that may be declining in the past few years. It's become more and more common, and we know more and more people that are doing this, and we realize the economy is somewhat tougher in some ways than it used to be.
Now, we talk a little bit about the upsides of multi-generational housing these days. Maybe grandpa and or grandma can help take care of the grandkids. Everybody's saving money, hopefully. A unique twist, though, with COVID is that that grandkid might be exposing an at-risk grandparent to disease during this pandemic. How much of a wrench does that throw in this whole concept?
Oh, absolutely. I think it's a giant wrench that hopefully won't turn into a giant problem, but certainly could, especially as children return to school or university soon. When we have these multi-generational houses, there are people in the house that have very different risk profiles associated with COVID-19. So elderly people are at much higher risk of serious complications and death. And young people, while still at some degree of risk, are nowhere near as at risk and also tend to be much more risk tolerant in their attitudes about things. So it's really difficult to kind of have a unified household where everyone feels the same commitment to social distancing. You may have an environment where elderly members of the household want to enforce really strict social distancing and really feel it's necessary for their safety and well-being. And then you may also have young people in the household that feel that it's not really a big concern and they want to be free to go out and socialize. I hate to say it, but as they see fit. And that could result in some really serious costs for some elderly members of the household.
Of course, and maybe we'll see this reflected in advice columns around the country, more proximity to relatives and loved ones, even if you love them, can lead to more risk of family conflict, right? Is this something we're going to be sorting out as we maybe readapt to this older-fashioned lifestyle?
Oh, absolutely. As you have more adults in the household, there's going to be more need for compromise. You're going to be stepping on each other's toes quite a bit more. And that's sort of essentially why people have not always wanted to live together in close proximity with extended family, because it's difficult to kind of make sure everyone gets along. So that's certainly going to be an issue. I haven't seen the data in America yet, but there's been a lot of evidence that during the strict lockdown they had in China following the emergence of the COVID virus over there, the divorce rate spiked that may be happening here as well. And so that's sort of a symptom of people perhaps stepping on each other's toes during a very difficult, stressful time. And so while it's great that folks can live together and rely on each other, there may also be some tensions that arise with that.
We're talking to Nicholas Lovett, assistant professor at UW-Whitewater with the Department of Economics. More people are finding themselves in multi-generational living situations, young adults staying with or moving back in with parents, for example, or grandparents moving in. It's happening more during the pandemic. It was actually gaining steam even before then. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Is this you now, or was this you? Has the number of people in your household increased in the last few months or last few years? Or did you grow up with multiple generations in your household? What was it like? Do you have advice for the first-timers out there right now? Join in with your questions, thoughts, and maybe your story at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. We pick up our conversation with Nicholas Lovett, assistant professor at UW-Whitewater in the Department of Economics. We're talking about intergenerational housing, living with, say, older family members, having adult children move back into the house, whatever the case might be. You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Are you doing this now, having multiple people, multiple generations in your family household right now? Have you been doing it for a long time? Is this new or old to you? Share your experiences at 800-642-1234. Let's bring on a caller now. Let's go to Gabby with us in Dodgeville. Gabby, hi.
Hi, how's it going today?
Good. What do you want to tell us about, Gabby?
Well, so my husband and I live with my mother, and we've been doing it for 5 years. Or actually, she moved in with us, and we have three children. And you know what? It's not without its struggles every once in a while. I mean, there's kind of a lack of privacy. But it's really nice for our kids to have that time with their grandma. And it's nice for her to have that time with them. They're really creating these memories and these bonds that are going to last them a lifetime. In addition, it's really nice to have a built-in babysitter if we want to go on a date.
Gabby, thank you so much for sharing that story. I appreciate it. Nick and Gabby, I think probably not the only one in that almost exact situation, Nick.
Oh, absolutely. I think there's a lot of pros to having an adult parent in the house with you to help out with the kids. Right now, with people working from home or working on site, it's almost necessary until children are able to sort of safely return to school. And there's certainly this sort of personal upside where you can have stronger relationships within the family. And there's also substantial evidence that the children really benefit from the additional attention of having a third adult in the household, or maybe third and fourth adult in the household, to provide them with attention and care and education and all those great things.
Thanks a lot for that call, Gabby, at 800-642-1234. We'll go to Sid now in Milwaukee. Sid, hi.
Hello?
Sid, hi. Go ahead.
Oh, hey. Yeah, so I could see the usefulness of it, especially in places like L.A. or New York, where it just costs so darn much to live, you know, like, just for the economics of it, even if it's not purely, you know, the emotional aspect of it, the economics might be worthwhile.
Sid, thanks a lot for that call. Sid brings up a great point, Nick, that I hadn't gotten to yet. The rent is really high. Housing costs are really high, you know, in big cities like you mentioned, but a lot of other communities around the country. Is that a potential driver here of people wanting to pay one less rent or mortgage?
Yeah, Sid really raises a great point, and that's that this can be a great way of reducing costs. Although here in Wisconsin and the Midwest, sort of an interesting phenomenon is that we typically live in very large homes here in Wisconsin and the Midwest relative to the coastal parts of the country. So although the costs of living are somewhat lower, it makes it a lot easier to cohabitate with, say, your in-laws or something like that. There's a lot more space in the house. So that's sort of a potentially a driver locally, is that it's relatively easier or less difficult to have another adult in the household when you have a bigger house. And Americans are consuming bigger houses than they used to. So even though housing has become more expensive, Americans have more square footage per person than they ever have. And I think that may also sort of feed back into having more people in the household of multiple generations. But Sid raises a great point.
Sid, thanks a lot for calling in. We'll go to Greg with us now in Janesville. Greg, hi.
Hi. Say, we 20 years ago, my father told me that they wanted to rent and didn't want to own any longer. So I thought to myself, maybe I'll buy a duplex. And I did. One side is owner occupied and the other side is a renter place. It's smaller. So we were together, but yet we had enough privacy between ourselves. I put in a privacy fence between our decks, but they were always there if we needed them to watch our daughter at the time. And we checked in on each other. And then you're talking about mortgage payments. The rent that we got paid for three quarters of our mortgage payment. So that was great too.
Greg, thanks a lot for that call. And I've heard of this approach, Nick, getting families getting multi-unit things. So you're not literally in the same space, but there's just a wall separating you. Is Greg part of a trend there too, do you think?
I think it's been around for quite a while, but Greg is a little bit of part of a trend in the sense that one sort of new development we've seen in the American housing market has been the development of what are sometimes called backyard cottages. So while the duplex has been around for a while and the in-law unit above the garage has been around for a while and maybe more popular now than ever, sort of a new thing has been the backyard cottage or cabin, where you'll have an independent structure built in the backyard or front yard, wherever it may be, and your in-laws will reside there. And that can help you share the housing cost and also give everyone sort of enough space while still also reaping the benefits of having someone nearby to assist with the family and things of that nature.
Greg, thanks a lot for that call at 800-642-1234. Looking at long-term trends, Nick, we've talked about housing costs some. How about wages, especially for people, you know, in the bottom third or even two-thirds of the wage scale? is part of the story here that those wages are stagnant and making it hard to afford those higher housing costs?
Well, in the last 30 years or so, we've seen what some people refer to as the great divergence in wages. And that's the sense that, you know, 1980 or 1990, the differences in wages between someone with a college education and someone that didn't were relatively much smaller. They've gotten much, much larger. And so we're seeing this big divergence in the earnings capacities of different Americans. And for folks at the lower end of that income spectrum, the housing market's gotten real difficult. And this is especially true in some of the coastal areas that one of the previous callers referred to. I used to live in the Bay Area of California, and boy, that's a tough, tough housing market. It's getting to the point where there are entire cities where virtually no one lives there unless they have a six-figure income or more. And that's making things real tough. And on top of that, there are very strong environmental regulations in some of these high-cost areas that make it really difficult to expand the housing supply and therefore lower the prices. So we're certainly in a bit of a tough predicament in that regard.
Looking to the future, Nick, do you think that this is something that's going to stick, this multi-generational family trend, or is this something we're just kind of putting up with as we deal with, you know, COVID and the long-term impacts of the Great Recession, and we're going to hope to get out of it as soon as we can?
I think it's a great question. I think there's really sort of two things going on here. There's this sort of short-run spike that's being driven by COVID, and I do sort of expect that to go away and return back to sort of a baseline level. It's not clear when that's going to happen because we don't really know when COVID is going to be under control. But I would suspect that once children are able to return to school safely and their parents are able to return to work in a normal fashion safely, we'll see some sort of big retrenchment back to pre-COVID levels. However, the sort of high baseline level, I don't think is going to go away anytime soon. If anything, I expect it to continue. The economic forces that are encouraging this are not going anywhere anytime soon. Parents increasingly want more and more attention and investment in a smaller number of children than they've had in the past. And American demographics are also changing and becoming more and more from Latin America and East Asia and less of sort of the Anglo-American tradition. And so we're probably going to see more people that want to pursue this type of housing. And those are also the folks that are having kids more these days. So it makes sense that they would also be more inclined to do so. So in short, I sort of expect to see the COVID spike to recede at some point. But I think sort of the long run trend towards this is going to continue.
Nick, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Oh, my pleasure. Great to be here.
That was Nicholas Lovett, assistant professor at UW-Whitewater in the Department of Economics. He joined us to talk about an increase in multi-generational households over the last few months. Grandparents moving in with their kids and grandchildren, adult children staying home or moving back home, and more. There's still time for you to share your story over on the Ideas Network Facebook page.